Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Friday edition of The Drive. Yes, TGIF getting ready for the weekend. A hot one today. Yesterday was warm. Today's hotter. It is, and the weather looks like it's going to continue. We're gonna head right into, jump right into what's going to seem like midsummer here in the first week or so of summer. Hope everybody doing well, being able to stay cool. We are here inside the studio. It's Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, who's, you know, the regular other on Mondays. Will be joining me here shortly. Drew is at the controls. One of the reasons Brian's going to be here, there will not be a show next week. We're taking a vacation. The Drive is taking a vacation next week. And we'll head down to the Gulf and then be back for the 4th and back on with you a week from Monday. So looking forward to that and you know, getting away. And I've got to, once again, want to talk to you a little bit about Game Day Men's Health right here at the outset. Just went over and saw them, my weekly visit there. I've been seeing them for, I did the math. This is 34 weeks, and I am now down 35 pounds. And, I mean, you know, at first it was like, man, I see these people that are doing things and they're dropping, you know, 20 pounds in a month. And that's not really the way you want to do it. You need to go fairly slow. But I mean, the folks there at Game Day are great. Again, they do blood work, get your labs, determine what's the best for you for what you're trying to do. I mean, if you feel like you need an energy boost, or you know you need to lose some weight, or you're having different kinds of troubles. I mean, they can handle low testosterone, ED, weight loss, energy, vitamin supplements. They are just very thorough with what they do, and then they do constant checks on your blood work and make sure everything is going fine. And I couldn't be happier with the way things have gone. About where I thought I needed to be. I may take a few more off, but it has me feeling much, much better, even for an old man on his birthday like today. So it's like I was thinking, boy, before I saw Drew, I'm going, this is gonna be a crappy last day before vacation. Since Brian, I hadn't heard from Brian. Let me tell you, folks. Right now at my house, it's like throwback time. We have one vehicle and we have one phone. My wife's phones, she had told me, she said about a week ago that she needed a new case for her phone, and she did. It was chipped at one corner. So I ordered her a case. Her phone's not that old. But when she handed me her phone for me to, you know, swap the case, I said, honey, this isn't just your phone. This isn't just the case. The back of your phone is detaching because that usually means the battery is swelling and we don't need that. You don't need to try to keep using that. So, right now, she kept it. We've got work scheduled. The repair is scheduled. The battery's been ordered, but she has to be without a phone for a few days. So I left the phone with her because I don't want her to be at the house. I've got the vehicle too, because we've had in the family. You know, it seems like there's always going to be at least a vehicle that's having some problems, and one of them is with the you know, one of our sons, and they work. They have to get to work every day. I have to come in. I come in here, but we don't really need a second vehicle all the time. But I thought today, it's like, well, if I'm leaving and leaving her at the house by herself, she needs to be able to have a phone just in case. Or instead of having to, you know, try to get next door and see if you can borrow a phone in case something comes up. Probably, you know, I'm sure nothing will. But yeah, it was really odd today. So I'm thinking, wow, I don't have my phone. So I hadn't been able to hear from Brian. I expected him to come in, and Drew checked with him, and he's on his way. But I'm thinking, if Brian isn't here and something happened and Drew couldn't make it, this would be fun, because I've got the older laptop here that at times just decides, I'm not going to work today. And I thought, this would be really fun if I'm here for a couple of hours by myself and don't have access to anything. But that's not the way it is. It's everything's all good. I'm here. Brian's on his way. Drew's here. We'd love to hear from you. You know, coming up, this was a good time. Now, watch next week be a huge news week and crazy, you know, all kinds of crazy things happen. But it appears that most everything that at least was in the works and that we knew was going to be happening has been taken care of. I mean, my goodness, Auburn's got 24 football commitments. The basketball team, we know who's going to be a part of it. I mean, the I guess the only even teeny tiny question about basketball right now is, you know, could Narcisse Ngoi decide to go pro, even though he's already come out and said that no, he is planning on being a part of the Auburn basketball team this next year after he was drafted just Tuesday night in the NBA draft. So, I mean, there don't appear to be many questions about that. I mean, there could be some more movement in the baseball transfer portal. Auburn picked up a left-handed pitcher we talked about yesterday. So, I mean, there could be some more movement there. But generally, any type of news at this time of year is not good news. So, I mean, who knows? Something could happen. But just figuring that with the 4th coming up, you know, next Friday is a day off for just about everybody. It'd be a good time to go ahead and try to kick back and recharge a little bit and then get ready to go. As when we come back, we'll just be a week away or a couple of weeks away from SEC Media Days down in Tampa. So, I mean, football season will be just around the corner. And, you know, we'll be at the Major League All-Star coming up on the Major League All-Star break. Maybe the, you know, last All-Star game for a couple of years. As we talked about a little bit yesterday, it's hard to believe that Major League Baseball and the Players Association are going to be able to come to agreement with what both sides are wanting here with the their current agreement coming to an end. So don't know how much longer, you know, Major League Baseball will be able to continue after this year. Hopefully there won't be another work stoppage because they've been extremely detrimental to the game the last couple of times that they've happened. Anyway, we're just underway here on the Friday edition of The Drive. You know, since we won't be on the air again until after the 4th, we can get some sort of holiday type things going today. You know, this doesn't necessarily have to be sports related at all. I mean, it can be, because we've talked about some of these in the past, some summer road trips to ballparks and things like that. But it doesn't have to be summer. I think now would be a good time to just reminisce and have some folks talk about favorite road trips or memorable, maybe most memorable road trips that you've taken. Like it to be sports related, but heck, it doesn't have to be. I mean, it's the last show before next week's holiday, so we're pretty much wide open. Can talk about just about anything that you would like. 334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Tell you what, since Brian's on his way, we'll go ahead and get to our first break early. Love for you to join in here on the final show of the week, the final show for 10 days here on The Drive.
War Eagle, Cameron, and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. ESPN 106.7.
It's Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. BMAT in on a Friday since we're off next week, and joining me now in the studio. How's it going today?
It is going really well. I wish it wasn't this warm, but I'm glad to be here on Friday.
Oh, man, it's the end of June. That's it is what it is. Yep. You know, at least, it's pretty.
It is.
It is pretty hot, but it's pretty. But yeah, it's definitely be careful if you're going to be outside for extended periods of time weather.
Yes, definitely.
334-321 is the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Bill has been kind enough to call in. Hey, Bill, how you doing today?
I'm fine. How you guys doing?
Doing fine.
Yeah, you were talking about the craziest trip I think I've ever taken. Yeah, of course, it was 2010 National Championship game, Levi of Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
Literally hours before a blizzard of all time.
Oh, yeah.
We left a day or two before, so sort of beat that. We'd heard that something could be coming, but had no idea until we're out there and started hearing the nightmare stories of people trying to get out.
And
so it sounds like you've got one.
I got out, and it was funny, the weather wasn't that bad in Atlanta, but it was something coming. But I left early that day. But if you were leaving late that afternoon, you had problems.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I got out there, and the co-travelers, they weren't coming out until late that night or whatever, and they almost didn't get out of there. The guys complained about it two or three times, and they talked about sending the tickets out on a messenger so I could sell them for them because they didn't think they were going to get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Then when we got
there. There were tons of people that had to do things like that, try to figure ways of getting their tickets to somebody.
And then I got out there because I traveled the day ahead of everybody else. And the storm hit, there was, once they start canceling flights up and down the Eastern Seaboard, getting back,
Getting back was crazy.
You couldn't. So we ended up, here's what we ended up doing. We went to the game, of course. But I couldn't get a confirmed flight. The game was Monday. Couldn't get a confirmed flight till Friday.
Oh, man.
So we went to Grand Canyon, Hoover Dam.
Oh, well, that's good.
Sedoma.
Yeah.
We just made there was nothing you could do. And it was nice, but, it was that was a wild trip.
We were able to get out the next day, but we had to go through Detroit and had to run in the snow from one terminal across to another one. I mean, because the plane that we were catching was about, they were taxiing ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
So we nearly had a really horror story, but no, we made it back, and Atlanta was still pretty icy when we got back.
It was.
Oh yeah, but Friday it was. I parked in the off site property over Camp Creek, and there's still a lot of snow there. But yeah, I didn't want any part of those connecting things. They finally said, "Well, we can get you a nonstop from I think it was Phoenix to Atlanta, but it won't be till Friday." I want no part of that. Going to Detroit or going to somewhere else, and then because if that plane is delayed,
we were worried about. I mean, because it did for a little bit, and it's like, man, we timed it almost to the minute. It was like we deplaned and we're supposed to be boarding at that at that minute. So it's like, we were seriously. It was we weren't OJ or anything through the airport, but I mean, it was worse because it was through the mess.
And hey, if you hadn't made that flight, you might still be there.
Yeah, no kidding. And I don't know, still breathing, but we might still be there. Yeah.
It was a good, we just went to a lot of different places, Sedoma and Grand Canyon and things we hadn't planned to do, but glad I got to do it. I just didn't think I was going to be out there all week.
Well, if you hadn't, though, I mean, if you hadn't done that, you might not ever had the opportunity to get to those places.
That's true. That's a good point.
So you made the best of it.
Guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Bill. 334-321-1390. A lot of folks had crazy, crazy times, especially for the folks that had been out there trying to get back. And I know there were a lot of folks who couldn't make it. And And that's why game day, there were all kinds of scrambling going on because there were tickets that had been held for people that couldn't make it.
Right, right. Yeah, it was as well. But once you got there, you know, and you got in the stadium, it was a really good crowd and a really good Auburn crowd.
Yeah, everything was fine except for the field.
Yeah.
The field was terrible.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, just it was like stepping on a rug that didn't have the sticky stuff on the back of it, you know.
Yeah.
It just slid.
It's hard to believe that's been 16 years now.
No kidding. Yeah. It really is. 334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Mentioned next week isn't expected to be a busy week. I mean, things appear to be slowing down. But, man, Brian, I mean, this week has still been pretty darn busy.
It has, especially with recruiting.
Yeah.
Picked up a ton of new commitments.
Three commitments since we talked on Monday.
It is the dead period now, but that doesn't mean kids aren't still making decisions.
Sure.
A lot of them have scheduled their announcements during this time and more coming up just because they, in late May and June, they went through all those official visits and they're getting themselves a week or two or whatever it is to come up with that decision. So, you know, Auburn is certainly, I think they're up, is it up to 24 now? Is that right?
Yes.
Something like that. It's
24
amazing.
Commitments, and that's with Kingston Miles,
right.
You know, decommitting and,
right.
and committing to Missouri.
And I know I talked about it Monday, but again, what a great job by Auburn to go out there and have his replacement already committed before he actually flips. So, you know, shout out to them and the great job they did recruiting there, getting Moni, is it Moni Williams or Monty Williams?
Moni, I think.
Moni, okay.
Because it's Armani, so I would,
there you go.
I would think it's Moni.
But yeah, it's been a spectacular recruiting job by them. I know they've still got some high profile kids they're recruiting, and you know between now and I guess December, whenever signing day is, I haven't looked. You know, there's going to be some ups and downs, right? And there'll be a
Boy, you're in such good shape right now.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
To be going into July to have 24 commits. I mean, it would. I think most Auburn fans would have felt pretty good if Auburn had had 15, 16 commitments at this point.
And I know people get caught up in decommit stuff, but I'd be surprised if Auburn doesn't get 20 to 22 of these guys end up in the class.
Yeah, I agree.
Mean, there's going to be movement, sure, but most of them end up sticking with the school. You know, some of them flip a little bit, but, you know, Auburn will be, you know, looking out for guys to possibly flip themselves. They'll be looking at guys who have great senior seasons, maybe that step up, and they'll be continuing to recruit any high-profile guys that are uncommitted to fill any more spots. I think they set out on this journey to get around 18 to 20. The fact that they've got 24 tells me that this journey has gone much better than they expected, which I think is a great sign.
Yeah, because it's not like we're coming up on signing day. We've had we know that a bunch of players are leaving, and we've got to fill all these holes, and they're just reaching for bodies. I mean, taking them as early as Auburn has tells me an awful lot. I mean, that you know they really like these kids, and they want them to be part. They want them to be a part of the team. So I think the preparation that has gone into this, how quickly Auburn appeared to be at least as prepared as anybody they've been recruiting against, I think is remarkable.
Yeah, and they've won so many high-profile commits. Even for even if it's a three-star, they're still beating out other SEC teams and other Big Ten teams, ACC teams for these kids. So I think that says a lot about their talent and potential. And you know, I also want to remind everybody that we're moving to five to play five now.
Right.
So you're going to have more guys coming back on next year's team. That means you're not going to have to rely on the portal as much. You still want to use the portal,
fill in holes that you haven't been able to fill elsewhere.
But you want to get to a point where the majority of your team is coming from that recruiting class, so you can get guys in for years and build them into your scheme, build them up.
What a unique thought that is. That's the way it was forever until you had the portal.
Right.
I mean, where players occasionally you'd be able to get a transfer or you'd find somebody in the junior college ranks, something like that. But you had to rely on the players that you evaluated, you brought in, and hopefully you were able to develop.
That's right. And it's a lot less expensive to do it this way. And
sure
I think
is.
A lot better when it comes to building a program.
And I think you feel better if players earn more because they've earned it. I mean, you're not having to pay them so much up front and then hope that they live up to what you paid them.
Right, Right. And, you know, if you look back at that class, I don't remember the exact number, but a number of those guys, was it 39 Auburn signed in the portal?
Yes.
Are underclassmen. So that mm-hmm. means they could be back for 2-3+ years,
right.
You know, playing for Auburn.
Yeah, add a year to what everybody yeah. appeared to have when Auburn brought yeah. those players into the portal. Because, I mean, the guys that are in their fourth year will have another year if they wish after this year as well.
Yep. So I think that bodes well for the future of this program and Alex Golish. I'm excited to see what this team can do this year and if they can maybe surprise some people a little bit. And then I'm excited to see how this program continues to build going forward. And it'll be interesting to see what they do. Do they think that Tristan Tia or one of the other quarterbacks on campus is going to be the guy for mm-hmm. 2027? Or they feel like they need to go out and sign a portal guy? I think that'll be something to watch really closely.
I think that's
in December.
Yeah, that's very yeah. important this fall to see if that's determined, because you have to feel like when they brought Tristan Tia in, that was their thinking, that this could be their guy after Byron Brown, and
right.
he'll get that opportunity to try to show that he is that person when they get started this fall. He looked pretty good what we saw this spring.
He really did. He had a terrific A-day, moved well, threw the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell he's already picked up the offense pretty well. He was from Oregon State, if I'm not
yes.
mistaken. Yeah, so he picked it up really fast. And, I don't think he's going to be able to run the ball like Byron Brown, but I do think he's got some athleticism.
Yeah, he's not immobile.
Yeah. So, if you can get him to be – if you feel great about him being your starting quarterback for the next couple of years – buddy, instead of spending $2+ million on getting a portal starting quarterback, maybe you can spend a little bit extra to go get a left tackle or go get another pass rusher or go get a
whatever that hole is.
Elite cornerback, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what you need, but that can really help your team a lot if you can find guys like Tristan Tia and they can develop into really good players.
And you talked about it a little bit on Monday, and there's been a good bit more talk about it this week, just folks sort of following up on that. It has seemed that for years you'd want to go out and sign the highest profile quarterback that you could sign, the sign a five-star, and let's see how he works out. Sign a five-star now. Unless you're really desperate and you have to have him start now, there's no guarantees that you're going to find out.
Right.
Somebody else may be
right.
The beneficiary when he's ready to play.
I think there are some programs out, right now that can still hang on to a five-star quarterback for a few years without him being a starter.
I think it's fewer and fewer programs that can.
I really do. And I think what you've seen for a lot of the national championship teams, a lot of the finalists and semifinalists.
Look at the teams that are in the playoffs last year. How many yep. of them had quarterbacks that started their careers at another school?
Exactly. So that's really a big part of it. And that's good that those quarterbacks are finding the right home. But it's also could be very expensive. If that's how you build your program.
Oh yes, indeed. Would you rather? I don't know. Would you rather gamble by spending, say, $1 million on a five-star high school quarterback and hope that he's around in a couple of years when you think that he may be worth the amount of money that he could get in the portal?
Right.
Or that yeah. you'd have to pay for a proven quarterback in the portal? I mean, that's what you have to balance.
I would rather, if it was me making the decisions, I would rather take chances on guys I think can develop into good quarterbacks in high school. And then if I miss on some of those, then go out and get a portal guy mm-hmm. you know is going to be it. If you have to do that, I just don't know. Just taking five-star quarterbacks, not that it's not great to have those guys, but that's you're taking a really big risk of investing a lot of money in them and not getting a lot of return on your
investment. I was going to say that's a lot of money that you're not seeing a return on for a while,
right.
usually.
Yeah.
And,
unless they're really, really special.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or you're really, really desperate.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Bill and Brian with Drew at the controls here on this Friday. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us. With Drew at the controls. And let's head back to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Brian. How y'all doing?
Great.
Bill, you made reference to it earlier, the MLB situation. Are they really talking a work stoppage again? And do they not realize the damage that could do to the game?
I don't know if they have any sense at all, Terry. I mean, the fact that, first of all, I don't think the Major League Players Association was crazy about the proposals for the draft, cutting the draft from 20 rounds to 12 and eliminating high school players. College would love that. But I think the craziest thing is when I see them proposing now that free agents only can get 5-year deals if they change teams, 6-year deals if the team that they're with re-signs them. There's no way that the players are going to go for that. And they also don't like the Players Association has never, I mean, they've always been absolutely 100% against a salary cap. And that's what Major League Baseball says. Look, the NFL and the NBA have it. We need it. Well, the Players Association in baseball is so strong, I don't think there's any way. I think we absolutely are headed for another stoppage. And, yes, it was so damaging to baseball. Baseball used to be – it was America's pastime. It was the favorite sport in this country. And it is maybe third now? Maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know. I think it's fourth. I'd say college football is more popular than Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, college basketball, maybe. I mean, but it is definitely fallen, and this has a chance to they really tried to sort of, I think, had been able to get some young people, especially African-Americans, more interested in baseball, and had gotten, I thought, started turning it around a little bit and were looking to try to create, you know, have those young stars. You've got Shohei, I mean, the Asians, I mean, Shohei is definitely the man, and not that he's not for just about anybody, but I mean, finding superstars, young superstars have been something they were trying to do. But yeah, work stoppage would just be terrible, terrible for Major League Baseball.
So what you're saying is it's all about money again.
Oh yeah, no doubt. What is every labor, you know, disagreement about? It's always about money.
So there was a poll back in January, and American football was number one. That includes NFL and college, right? Basketball, NBA was two. Third was soccer.
Wow.
Fourth was Major League Baseball.
Wow. Yeah.
Fourth. Wow. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Yep. America's pastime is baseball.
It's past.
And apple pie, right?
That's in the past. It's a past. Past time now.
Right. Well, thanks, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
That's sad.
Have a good time this week.
Hey, appreciate it, Terry. I mean, and it is sad. I love baseball.
Yeah, and take polls for what they're worth. You know, I'm not saying
I don't doubt it. It's definitely not at the top anymore. And it was.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, baseball was the sport. I mean, when the NFL and the AFL combined, I mean, that was a huge step for the NFL. The NBA was maybe third. Sure. I mean, the NBA was just
a mess.
You heard about some of it, but you didn't get to see any NBA.
And then really Magic Johnson, Larry Bird kind of changed
absolutely.
All that, right?
Absolutely.
That era kind of kickstarted the whole thing.
Yeah. And in the meantime, baseball's gone through a couple of strikes, a couple of work stoppages, and people, you lose part of your fan base every time.
Steroid era, all that stuff, yeah.
Yep. Now, I said college baseball, if there's a work stoppage, college baseball is going to really be one of the beneficiaries of this. I think there'll be some independent leagues as well, because let's face it, of the 150 to 200 high schoolers who are drafted every year in the Major League draft, I'd say at least a third of them have no interest in college.
Right.
So I mean, some of those kids want to just play ball. They don't really care about going to college, so there'll probably be an independent league that'll pop up for some of those guys, but a lot of those players will then go ahead. So many of them have already committed and signed with a college, and then they get an offer that just they can't refuse, and they go pro.
Yeah. And I'm sure that Auburn will profit from that, or that will be good for Auburn, because they've done a great job in recruiting high school players. They have really built this program.
Oh, the last few years, it's just been amazing. The evaluation and then the production of their freshmen.
Yeah, and I think people get really caught up in the portal and what's Auburn doing here and there, and they have done a good job. I think they've done a great job in helping out their bullpen in the portal and added a couple pieces, position player-wise, hitting-wise, that can certainly help out, certainly.
Well, that's what you want. That's what you hope you can do in the portal. You were talking about it a while ago with football. I mean, you'd like to have, you hope the foundation, the majority of your team together and able to really build chemistry and continuity. And then, look, every team's not going to be perfect. If there is a place where somebody can help you, that's where the portal can be great. You hopefully can go out there and find somebody that could be that missing piece to try to get you over the top.
But even if Coleman Borthwick, the big two-way player, right-handed pitcher, big stick from South Walton, even if he does sign, a first-round pick, top 20, 25 kid, if he does sign Major League Baseball, Auburn's got a really great group of kids behind him. Jace Matuszynski, I don't know if I said that right.
No, I think you're right.
Is probably a day one starter in the infield somewhere. Don't want to put pressure on him or anything, but he's got the chance. He's from Wisconsin, and he has a chance to be drafted too, but I think there's a much better chance of Auburn getting him in.
Yeah, it's less likely. I mean, Borthwick's going to be – unless something crazy happens, he's a first-round guy. And maybe first half of the first round.
Yes, yes. John Stowers is a really, really good catcher from St. Paul's. Might be the best. I don't want to say he's going to be the best right away, but has potential to be a really good defensive catcher right away. And, certainly has the potential to have a really good bat, too. I think he's a left-handed hitter, a lot like Chase Frelick is. So he's one to watch. And then more arms like A.J. Rice and Ty Tillery. Deacon Nelson is another infielder who could play right away, could play some shortstop, same with Levi Nickel. So they've got a really good class coming in, and they do want to leave some room for these guys to have a chance to come in and play right away, just as they have the last couple of years, right?
Yeah. Auburn, by the way, I guess since we talked, added another player from the port. I added a left-handed pitcher from Mississippi State,
they did.
Right?
And that's been the biggest thing they've done so far, is really boosting –
four pitchers now?
Four pitchers, two lefties. Dane Burns, Mississippi State. He's been a two-year player for them, which to me says a whole lot. I think it was 40-something appearances, I believe I wrote, in those 2 years.
He's better than a strikeout per inning and an ERA of like 3.5 this past year.
Yeah, he's been terrific so far. So I think
big. He's 6'5" lefty.
Big lefty, and I think at least three of the four they got are going to be definite bullpen guys in that rotation there, and we'll see if maybe one of them can be a midweek starter or a weekend starter or whether or not they use him in the bullpen. But I think they've done another really, really strong job just filling out the roster, filling out some pieces there, but still even room for these freshmen to come in and play.
Yeah, and then the other two transfers are, possible someone who could possibly play either second or third, where Chris Rembert and Eric
Ben
Guevara.
Ben Swales from Iowa, yes, can play anywhere in the infield just about. Got a nice little bat.
Right, and then Beverly, the outfielder, is somebody that looks like a Bristol Carter type.
He does. Can play center field, can lead off. Can his bat make that transition from Georgia Southern? I think it's Georgia Southern.
Yeah, I think that's right.
To Auburn. He batted, I think, around 200 as a freshman, but then batted, I think it's right around 350 as a sophomore. So, is that going to continue to be – because if you're going to bat leadoff on this team and play center field, you better be able to get on base, right? You can't bat 250.
You need to have a really good on-base percentage, regardless.
Right, and I think Gabe Ballou's coming back, and, he's certainly capable of having a great senior season. Don't discount him. When he's healthy, when he has a number of at-bats, and he gets going, gets that confidence going, he's got a really good left-handed stick. So, I'm excited about the future of this program. Here's the numbers for Burns. I pulled them up. This is just last year, but he does have 42 appearances over 2 years for Mississippi State. So that's a really good pitching staff.
Right.
And he's a very important piece of it. Last year, 2-1, 3.52 ERA, a save, 32 strikeouts, 13 walks in 23 innings. So that's a guy that's going to come in and throw strikes and get outs and be a guy that can give you 1, 2, 3 innings a week.
He's been a guy that's only pitched an inning or two.
Right.
But again, he's a big guy, and he'll get an opportunity here. So, that's good. I mean, and that doesn't mean Auburn's done in the portal. That's what I said. I mean, something like that could pop up at any time. But, I mean, right now you're just sort of waiting and seeing how things go next month with the MLB draft.
Right, and they've offered Coleman Borthwick a nice package. If he wants to come, and they'd love to have him. I'm not saying that's 100% not going to happen, but if it doesn't, that's some money they could put to somebody else potentially. You never know. Same with Matuszynski.
Well, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Bub sort of come along like that?
Yep.
I mean, I don't remember who the player was. A spot became open, and Auburn went out and then was able to grab Bub Terrell and bring him in, and he's turned out to be pretty darn good.
Yeah, I think his plan and what everybody thought he was going to do was go in the draft out of high school, but he went ahead and signed with Auburn. Auburn was able to offer him enough money to keep him here, and he's going to come back and probably have his best season next year, you would hope, for Auburn.
Yeah, so things looking good. So Auburn and college baseball could definitely be the beneficiary, because unless, as I said at the outset, unless something really drastic changes, one side really gives, or one side decides to, well, we're going to pull some of these demands off the table, I just don't see how there's going to be an agreement in Major League Baseball before next season.
My guess is all this stuff that they've thrown out there is just stuff they know is going
to
be.
Oh, they're posturing right now, trying to say they're playing hardball. We want this.
But what they really want is a salary cap more than anything.
Yes.
That's what the owners want more than anything. So I don't know.
I mean, I understand.
Right. You don't want one, two, or three teams just having, being able to spend. I mean, is it hundreds of millions more than those
teams?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, one thing I do like is that's been proposed by Major League Baseball is they have an international draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, because before it's just been international players, when they get to be a certain age, they can sign.
And that favors just a handful of teams, too.
Especially right. Lately, it seems to favor the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's definitely the team I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure Dan enjoys it.
Absolutely does. But
as a Braves fan, come on.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. As you can tell, we're wide open. Bill gave us a fun trip memory. We'd like that as we go along. I mean, sure, we can talk, if you have questions, comments about anything going on in the world of sports. But if you've got a memory, as we're coming up on vacation time for a lot of folks, the drive included, like some fun trip memories, or maybe they weren't fun at the time, but they're fun to talk about now. You survived it, so you can talk about it now.
That's right.
Here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. You're invited to a very special show, An Evening with Will. With Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Man, some of the stuff we get into here during the break, I don't know. What are we?
He was asking about my area.
Oh, no! He was asking. Drew had texted Brian, and he was going, because he got a text from an 850, yep. And I said, yeah, that's Northwest Florida now. But we were going back and going, no, I remember Florida used to be 904, and we were talking Alabama
Georgia
was 205.
404.
For Georgia was, yep. Yeah, for the whole state.
Yep.
Because everybody didn't have phones. They sure weren't multiple phones.
No.
Now, I mean, if everybody doesn't have a phone, that's one of the things I was saying, it was crazy. A while ago, just the thought of we only have one car and one phone right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have the second phone when we get back from vacation. We'll have the second car here this weekend. But, I mean, that was not unusual, years ago, a few decades ago.
No, it wasn't.
Where families usually just had a car.
Yeah.
And that would be the kids would be trying to bother, to borrow the car at night, hopefully to use it or, to go out on dates or whatever. And mom would take it to the store, but dad would drive it to work or whatever. I mean, it would be one car. And now it's like, how do you get by without everybody having a car? And there's no way to imagine now.
No,
getting by without a phone. Getting by without a phone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
We have these things called cords that attach phones to walls.
That's right. They weren't portable. They weren't portable. No.
And if you dialed long distance, it cost a lot of money.
Long distance. That's something, again, there are a lot of folks going, what? What is long distance? You're talking international? Yeah. No. I'm talking calling 15 miles away. Yeah. I ran into that where you'd hope you had the long enough cord that you could stretch it down the hall
into your bedroom.
And into your room. Yeah. And but you had to dial it there on the phone, rotary dial it on the phone, and you know, somebody could come by and push the receiver down and hang it up while you're talking. That's Brian's not nearly as old as I am. I'm not going to say how old.
But we definitely have
I can
some
remember way back. Yeah. And things it is amazing now. The technology that's really available that everybody has. I mean, I know some people and I do at times go, God, social media just drives me crazy. But I mean, it's great to be able to get information instantly. Whether it's all right or not, right. I mean, it doesn't. There doesn't seem to be as much concern with it always being accurate as it used to be.
It's a shame,
but it is, you know, and it's changed so bad.
But I honestly feel though, I mean, maybe not to this degree, but I'm exaggerating a little bit. But if I wasn't doing the job I'm doing now, I might chunk my smartphone in the lake and never look back. But that's just me. Just have a flip phone where I could text. And
oh well, that'd be fine as long as I had the ability to stay in contact with somebody.
I'm not ready
to not be able to have any contact. Right. That would be I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the most social person.
Not
in the
saying
world,
I would totally do that, but I would definitely think about it.
I wouldn't need I don't have to, even though my wife would go, "You're crazy. You're lying." I mean, I don't have to be checking something
right
every minute, but I do.
Yeah, I know it's not good for you to be on your phones all the time.
No. And that's we went on Tuesday or Wednesday that we went and took our 4-year-old granddaughter to see Toy Story, and that's sort of the theme.
Oh, is it?
For Toy Story 5.
I love the Toy Story movies.
It's about
when I had kids,
the
right?
The old toys, you know, have been phased out because everybody's on their on their devices now. But they learned that the devices aren't all bad, so that's good. So it's good. Oh, I'm sorry if I gave gave away the plot there, but it's a fun. It's another fun Toy Story. It was her first experience in a movie theater. Oh, yeah,
and it went well.
Yeah, it went well. I mean, about halfway through the movie, she wanted to go meet some of the kids that she heard, you know, back behind.
Yeah.
She realized there were some kids. Could she go back and meet them? It's like, no, that's not what you do in the movie. It might bother some of the other people that are watching.
Yeah.
But no, we had a blast.
That's good.
You got anything planned special for the 4th?
No, probably. Usually we go over to the Auburn Fireworks, so you know, depending on the.
Well, I mean, now that the kids are all grown.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not like making a trip. Nobody's coming.
Mm-mm.
Or anything.
Not
so.
That we know of, or we haven't had anything planned out though yet. So we'll see. What about you?
Matt and Ariel and their two are going to be in London. So
wow, okay.
So no, we're probably not going to pop in on them and see them. So,
I told you I was going to Liverpool, right?
Yeah,
to the game
you're
going
to go to Nashville and see Liverpool.
Yep, but that's a month. That's July 25th, I think it is. So.
Oh, that's right around Media Days.
I think it's the week after, isn't it?
Okay.
I believe so.
Yeah, Media Days is like the 20th through the 23rd, something like that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so right after Media Days, you just head up to Nashville and
I'll be
and
on
check
the road
out
that
Liverpool.
Week. Yep.
Well, that's
and,
cool.
And then I think next week we'll get with Golish and maybe some other coaches in Elk City. So we'll have some stuff from that too. You know,
oh, that's good.
Some feedback and what's going on this summer. But it's a slow time, but it's about to change, right? It comes really fast.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know, 2 days will be here. Oh, not 2 days. I want to call it 2 days because that's what it used to
camp.
Be. Yeah, fall camp. Yeah. Much better.
All right, we're halfway done here on the Friday Drive. As you can tell, I mean, we're having fun.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily have to talk about anything specifically, but we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us in the final hour here on the Friday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews, MauburnSports.com. No, it's not Monday, it's Friday, but there will not be a drive next week, at least as far as I know of.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be here. Drew's not going to be here. No, we're taking next week off.
I might accidentally show up because I forget. But
that's okay. I mean I'm sure they'll let you just come in if you want
just
to.
Hang out, yeah.
And you know you can learn the board really quick.
There you go.
yeah. Anyway, since next Friday is pretty much a holiday with the 4th being on Saturday, I figure this is a good time, and it's usually a pretty slow time of the year as sort of like the mid-year break, and then get ready because it won't be long before media days and then the start of fall practice, and
we're off.
Here we go.
Yep.
Yeah, no
won't
question.
Be long at all.
We're talking in hour number one. I mean, all kinds of different things. One of the sort of a fun topic here as it's vacation time for a lot of folks. Wouldn't necessarily have to be vacation, but I mean, memorable road trips, and Bill called in with a memory of getting to Phoenix back in 2010. But so we'd love to hear from you there. But anything you want to talk about sports-wise, we'll get to a couple of things here today. Auburn's final piece of the basketball team arriving on campus today is Montas Roops-Devicius.
Yeah.
Is on campus. So that's nice because, I mean, there's no question he's a guy that I think everybody expects to be quite the contributor this year.
And I think Ngoy is going to be here next week.
Mm-hmm.
But they should have a full
– Yeah, and that was a crazy situation with him getting drafted the other night when nobody saw that coming. I think even him.
Yeah, yeah. But it's great that, you know, the NBA thinks so highly of him. And
no question.
He can come play for Auburn for a year or two, whatever it is, and the Clippers can still hold on to his rights. And, you know, it's a good situation to be in, and I think Auburn
That tells you a little bit about their evaluation
and ability
to bring in somebody.
Yes. His upside must be tremendous, and I think Auburn's done a great job with their bigs when they've had him, and I think he's got a great job, great chance to develop in the system. I think Stephen wants to have a bigger team, wants to have
shot blockers
and centers that can be impact-type performers, and I think he'll be one of them.
334-321-1390, that's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and let's get to it, and Mitch gets us started this hour. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Bill. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
There
have been way too many. We're not putting candles on a cake because we're worried about the fire hazard.
Right. Well, I mean, every time my uncle has a birthday, he's like, this is the 45th anniversary of my 35th birthday.
I'm not quite that many. Not quite that many.
Right.
But yeah, I understand.
Well, you know, since it was such a monumental day, I went ahead and took the plunge and bought myself some stock today on your birthday. So
cool. Right. Well, good luck.
It lost a little money today, but it'll
come
back. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm not one of those day traders. So anyway, but
okay.
You guys were talking about 2010. Now, just to make sure, because I went to 2010 and was there weather issues when we went to the Rose Bowl in 2013?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
I definitely
okay.
remember all the issues going and coming back, especially for
for just about everybody in 2010. I don't recall any in 2013, Mitch.
Okay, because I couldn't remember either. But well, then it was 2010 because we got out of Atlanta. I think we left a couple of days before it started because we didn't have any issues getting out to Phoenix. But then coming back, my wife remembers this way better than I do, but she's in Europe right now. Go figure. I think we flew from like Phoenix because of the weather, I guess, on the East Coast. We had to like fly. We flew like to Newark and something happened at Newark. It got closed or something. So we had to leave Newark and go to Pittsburgh. So, and then, and, you know, this was 2010, you know, smartphones had only been around for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And while we were on the plane, the wife got on her phone and found us a hotel room that was there connected to the airport somehow, because we were going to have to stay there overnight.
You're going to have a layover?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we're going to have a layover because, you know, we were supposed to come back, you know, the same day, but with the weather and everything.
Oh, yeah, nobody could. So, yeah, just about.
Yeah, but we she found, like, the last room that this hotel had that was attached to the airport.
Nice.
And everybody that got off the plane walked up to the counter. You know, we walked up, checked in and everything, and everybody else was there, and they were like, nope, we got nothing for you. So, yeah, we got real lucky. So we got to pretty much just kind of freshen up. I think we got something to eat, took a shower, you know, and then, like, the next morning pretty early we had to leave. But we got back. So, yeah, that was kind of a special trip coming back, like I guess everybody did, unless they decided to stay a few more days out there in Phoenix.
You but, know what would have really sucked, though, Mitch? If we'd lost.
Right. That's true.
Then it would really, really have been bad. It made it a whole lot more tolerable, yeah, having gone out there and won.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep running, Michael. Well, I mean, yeah. Don't stop. You're still up.
Well, I mean, I remember after the 13 game, because we took a bus to the Rose Bowl from our hotel, because we were staying in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And we got back on the bus afterwards. And the Florida State fans were pretty, how can I put it, humble, because they had barely beat us. You know, they had come back and everything, and they weren't very, I guess, boastful or rubbing it in.
Wow.
Or anything. They were
that's,
like,
that's a little bit of a surprise.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, they were. I mean, I was surprised. But yeah, they were pretty humble after that win, because you know, I think we were up, well, we were up 21-3 at one time, I think.
It didn't feel like it was quite that much. Felt like, and I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's because it didn't turn out the way I wanted. I don't. I'm trying to remember that. You know, having the lead and knowing that the fake punt was coming was probably.
It was tough.
The worst thing, because I mean
the big missed tackle there that got Florida State. No, I think it was on that drive that the missed tackle that gave that receiver got him closer down.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just remember, I guess, the Alabama fans on Feinbaum's show rubbing it in that we had an 18-point lead and we lost.
Wow.
So that's why I was thinking we were up like 21-3, and yeah,
you're probably right, and it's me just my mind not wanting to remember that.
Yeah, I know that was a painful one, but you guys were getting back to long distance calls. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember when the whole state of Alabama was a 205 area mm-hmm. code, and to call my grandmother in Macon County from Auburn was a long distance phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I lived in Flomington, Alabama. To call Bruton, it was long distance.
That's crazy.
Which is 15 miles
yeah.
away. I mean, yeah, it was crazy.
Right, right. And payphones. I mean, do they pay phones anymore?
Somebody said there was, Dan said there was one, I think, in Montgomery.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I've seen a few, but they're like.
How much would they cost now?
No telling.
Oh, yeah, I know. Cause
not a dime anymore.
No, it used to be, please insert another 20 cents, yeah. 25 cents.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a quarter.
Yeah.
A quarter, but all
Oh, no, I remember a dime.
Yeah, but it was a dime to make the call, but sometimes to make long distance calls, it seemed like it'd be quarters at a time.
Right, right, yeah. And
you used to have to have a lot of change.
What's the cheapest you remember, like, Coke machines being?
Nickel.
Yeah.
I can remember nickel Cokes.
I don't know.
I remember 50 cents.
We had a Coke machine at the radio station in Bruton uh-huh. that was one that was like, it looked like.
Of course, they were all glass, right? The bottles?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely they were. But, I mean, it opened, this machine, looked sort of like a table. Mm-hmm. You open at the top, and
wow.
and you could see the Cokes all slotted in there. You put the money in, and you could slide one out, and it would be like going through a turnstile to get your drink out.
Oh, okay. I don't remember ever seeing one like that before.
I think that was an antique when I was working there okay. at the station. It was cool, though.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, let me chime in. Do you remember the Coke machines that had the glass door? It was, like, tall and narrow, and the Cokes were I guess, they weren't upright. They were, like...
Oh, sort of at an angle that you pulled out of the door, sort of like vending machines.
Yeah, you open the door and you pull them out of a slot.
You could pull just one out,
right.
and you would try
right.
yeah.
because we'd try to see if you could get two at the same time and pull them out, but no, it wouldn't work.
Right. So,
yeah, that's like Foy.
Yeah.
Back the old Foy with the dining hall, and you'd have the sandwiches
in the
vending machines, and yeah, you'd try to see if you could get more than one out, yeah. or if you could jiggle the machine and get a little extra something out.
Right. Yeah. Just,
God, we're old, Mitch.
I know, but I mean, Bill, you'd be amazed if you go online and look and try to find like an old Coke machine like that from like say the 70s or 80s that's been totally refurbished.
Mm-hmm.
It is outrageous.
Oh, I bet they are. I mean, the ones I remember were the round red, and mm-hmm. you'd put it in and you'd hear the and it'd slide, you know, and yeah. it comes flying out the bottom. Yeah. You know, and then you'd have the bottle opener was the other thing right there along with your change on the front mm-hmm. of the machine.
Right. Yeah. So, wow, back in the good old days, we didn't worry about cell phones or, you know, we all had one car, maybe two.
Oh, man, you were big time if you had two car, if you were a two-car family.
Right. All right, guys, it was great reminiscing. Happy birthday, Bill. We'll talk to you all soon.
Appreciate it, Mitch. 334-321-1390. Hey, we can do this for the rest of the show. That's fine with me. And I've got a feeling our next caller is going to have a memory or two as we head back to the drive hotline. And Philly Fanatic, what's up, Philly?
All right. I'm going to go back to 1776. And wow. since you aren't going to be on the line next week.
You're not that old,
you know,
man.
No, I was back 70 years old. I want to tell the Liberty Bell and the Independence Hall where you could touch the bell and this other stuff. But anyway, I want to tell you what's going on.
He was breaking up. We're losing him just a little bit. Tell you what.
Are you losing me?
There we go. Got you back.
Nope.
Well, we had you back. All right, here's what we're going to do. Philly, we'll go ahead and get to break a little early, and hopefully we can connect back with him on the other side. Hey, you can join in. Whatever you want to talk about, we're wide open. Hey, we're about to go on vacation. We're not going to limit you what you want to talk about here this afternoon. We can always push the off button. We're right back with more here on the Friday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Yes, doing a little reminiscing here as well as talking some sports with you. I was just giving Drew some memories of the way radio used to be years and years ago. I'm telling you, just about everybody who worked in radio, it seemed like smoked. I don't know what it was. When I first walked into a radio station, it was like, man. It was Brian, I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, but I mean, I can recall going to the doctor's office and the doctor walking in with a cig hanging out of the corner of his mouth.
If you went out in the 80s, you know, or early 90s, I don't remember when it changed, but you went to a bar or whatever, you would come
to a restaurant
smelling
outrage from some people because they couldn't smoke in restaurants anymore. 334-321-1390. Let's head back, see if we've got a better connection with Philly Fanatic.
I'm here. I'm trying to get out of the water.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's we're way up there in Alex City and on the lake, and the connection's Verizon's not particularly good there. It's real good for the football and basketball coaches because they're up here with their houses and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I think they got it piped into their house when they're not on their wave runners with the players. But anyway, so that area in Independence Hall, and they've got all kinds of things there, like Patsy Ross's house mm-hmm. and Christ Church where they hung out, and the burials of, you know, Franklin and all this other stuff. So if you ever go there, it'd be really good. They've taken the Liberty Bell out and put it in this glass dome so everyone could see it, because it was just in a little tiny room and everybody tried to jam right. in there and they couldn't get in that. There. They have a big museum now where you can go in there, and they've got all the original documents that were there. Yeah, and it's an incredible thing to see. But anyway, they're going to have concerts, and Philly Luminaries are going to be like Christine Aguilera. He's going to be. These are all free.
Uh-huh.
And this
Will
Smith, and there's a guy named Jazz JG or something, Jazz something or other. I don't know that guy anyway. But a bunch of other people, and they're going to have Chinese lanterns, and it's just it's unbelievable what's going to go there.
Well, I would sure think so for $250. Yeah, I would sure think so.
Yeah, they have this time capsule full of stuff. I can remember them pulling one out. It's every 100 years to pull out, and there's things in there, I guess, that if you're really into history and way things were. But anyway, the big thing right there is going to be the World Cup. They're down to 16, and it's going to be a big deal. They've got people from all over the world going to be there, and I think that's the reason the World Cup, I may be wrong, is in the U.S. because it's our 250th anniversary. It could be.
Well, I'm sure the U.S. pitched that to try to, try to get it.
Yeah, of course.
Part of the celebration.
Well, anyway, this is a funny thing. They asked these guys that, were there, that, people from all over, what is the restaurant that you like the most? And you won't believe what they said, Waffle House.
Yeah, I believe that. I actually believe that.
Yeah.
Because it stays open all night, and
it does.
Cheap food.
And you can get a lot. You can get a lot of different things.
Yeah, and most of these guys in the World Cup, especially the men, I mean, they drink unbelievable. And so you can go there 2 or 3 in the morning and get yourself a waffle.
Yeah, I was going to say, back in the day before a Waffle House was around, that's what Crystal used to have, waffles.
Yes. No question. I was in college with some friends, and we were out drinking.
Oh, yeah.
And we went to Crystal, and at one place they had chili. And this one this guy was so inebriated, he passed out. His face fell in the chili.
Oh.
We had to grab his hair and put him out, because otherwise he would have drowned in his chili.
Drowned in the chili at Crystal. That'd be tough.
Way to go, yeah.
That's tough on your tombstone.
Yeah.
That would make a really good country,
country
song, Well, anyway, I won't be there, but the 200 was something big, but I think they're really going to go crazy because most of us aren't going to be around 100 years from now,
Yeah, I doubt that we all make it to that.
Yeah.
It's cool that some of us have been around for the 200 and the 250.
Yeah, I was there in college, and we went up there. At that time, it was similar to Atlanta. You remember the Atlanta Olympics? The first thing they do is clean out the slums,
mm-hmm.
and then get rid of all these peddlers in the streets. Especially the prostitutes. You remember in Atlanta? That was all they came.
Oh yes.
They grab you, put you in their limo, and take you to Cheetah 3.
They had a couple of guys that used to assist in them doing that, as a matter of fact.
And they always had like a professional wrestler, because that thing, Ted Turner had that, they would be up in the front, people would go there just to sign and, get their autographs and stuff, and then you go in the back room. I had Michael Jordan back there, and he got into some problems and found out that with the mafia was in there, and they were selling coke and all this other stuff. I'm sure
the good old
like
days,
that.
Eh?
anyway, it's going to be a hot one. We're back in the 90s now. It's really hot here. So
I'll tell you what, Philly. Hey, seriously. All right. So I spent a summer up there back about then.
Yep.
Working for North American and Beacon Van Lines out of Malvern.
Right.
With a good buddy. And that's probably the hottest, that felt like the hottest summer I ever lived. I didn't think it could be as hot up in Philly as it is around here, but man, it seemed like the air ever moved.
Right, and they don't all have air conditioners. Mostly the cars didn't. I mean, now obviously they all have them, but Yeah, it was a different time back there, and I miss it and miss all the things that are going on, but it should be exciting, and I know people can watch it. Oh, the other thing is they have the Geno's and Pat's steaks right next to each other.
Yeah.
And so they'll be hitting those places pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
Especially good those question. Night guys, because they're open 24 hours, too. Yeah.
It's good, though.
Okay, and the pretzels, soft pretzels. Anyway, it was good talking to both of you, and I since I won't get to see you again or talk to you. So have a nice, happy 4th. Oh, another thing, Bill. I brought you those flowers. You said your wife said she already had flowers. Well, let me tell you. A woman never has enough
of flowers. You're absolutely right about that.
And it's good because they're a lot cheaper than diamonds.
No,
right?
Like, you're right like, about okay, that.
Here's your Mother's Day. I got you a new thing, a bouquet of flowers, and there won't be a diamond necklace. Everybody's not inside of it.
Good hearing from you, man.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Got to run. 334-321-1390. Spectre's been hanging on through all that. Hey, Spectre, how you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Is this 106.7? Welcome back to the past.
Yeah, it's a blast from the past is what it feels like we're doing today.
Hey, listen, Bill, you talking about radio, old radio. I remember when DJs used to have aliases.
Oh, like yes, absolutely. You had to try to come up with the best-sounding name. And I never came up with one better than, you know, I was just me. That's what tells you I was a nothing.
What was yours?
No, I said I was just me, so I was a nothing.
Oh, okay, got you. I remember a guy named Sandy Beach, Dusty Road.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I remember those guys. Listen, it's going to take you back, Bill. Who you got there today, Justin?
No, Brian's here. So he's definitely another generation from...
Bill, you remember what Coca-Cola used to call an ice box.
Yes,
it opened at the top.
That's what I was talking about. I couldn't think of what it was called. That's what we had there in the station. You open the top and slid the Coke along, and it came out like
no, not that one. That one came afterwards.
Okay,
whoa.
This was a box. It opened halfway. The lid opened halfway, and inside the box was water with a block of ice.
Oh no, I do not remember that.
All right, now listen here. You remember now, back in the day, just about every two or three blocks was a curb market.
Yes, and I remember. Little ice markets too.
Yeah, this particular curb market close to where I live. Well, down the street was an ice
house or whatever they called
house, it. Yes, ice house. Yeah, ice house. And that's where they would get their blocks for to put in their Coke machine.
And oh, yeah, get those big tongs and get the big blocks of ice. Oh, yes.
Yes. I would go down to the curb market, and I'd go in there, and I'd look for me a Coke, and I would stick my hand in that cold water. I tell you what, I think I would get frostbite if I left it in there too long.
Well, I mean, Philly was right, though. I mean, not everybody had air conditioning. Very few people. I remember when my dad bought our first window units, and we had to cut holes in the wall to get it to fit and put those things in, and it was only in like the living room where you'd have guests come in, and the den. Those are the only two places in the house where there were air conditioning. Then of course they, mom and dad, got the next air conditioner
in the bedroom.
The next heard of central air.
Well, you guys were living high off the hog.
Oh yeah,
what we had.
Dad was a ship's captain, man. He was reeling in the dough.
Yeah, what we had was a window fan, and it was usually installed in the kitchen window. I mean, we're talking about one that's like about 2 feet by 2 feet.
Oh yeah. Oh, those big things. Well,
at night you would open up the windows, and upstairs where we had upstairs. You would open up the windows upstairs and turn on that window fan downstairs, and buddy, you would not believe some cool air coming in those
absolutely
windows.
My great aunts and great grandmother and her family had, you know, everybody had those older houses had 20-foot ceilings or whatever, and you'd have like the attic fan that could cut on and open the windows, and it's amazing how cool it was and how the air moved. That's what I was talking about, Philadelphia. They didn't seem to understand that there. It was just hot, and the air never moved.
And what did those big houses have on the floor, Bill?
Hardwood generally.
Or shag carpet.
Linoleum, the linoleum.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right.
You remember that?
Oh, yes. Woo. Oh, yeah.
That you was... want to get a high, you lift up that linoleum and smell it.
Wow. Yeah, trying to pull it up when you wanted to change that stuff out and try to get a better floor was no fun.
It was rough. Anyway, that's all I got, guys.
Fun stuff, Spector. Have a great weekend.
You too.
334-321-1390. See, this has been fun here. It's like, I don't feel like we're really missing anything. We can hit on anything sports-wise if you'd like.
Absolutely.
But heck, why not here on a Friday? Jeff, go ahead. You're next here on The Drive. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. It's been a while. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Great to reminisce back. Spector was mentioning about that fan. I'm old enough to remember those fans had reverse on them.
Yes, they did.
That's how it worked. And I'm old enough to remember at nighttime, my parents wouldn't let us use the air conditioning at night, so we had a reversible fan. So you put that fan on reverse. Uh-huh. You almost had to close that window at night. It gets so cold.
Yeah, it's amazing. People, and there are a lot of folks that wouldn't believe that's the case, but no, you're absolutely right.
Yes. And we had a big metal fan that fit in the window. My father would have fixed it to fit your window, and you put it on reverse at nighttime, and it would reverse all the air into all of your existing rooms if you let your window.
Yeah, it could either suck the hot air out or, you know, bring whatever, you know, the type air that you wanted to bring in, have it go in or out. That's, you know, that's the same theory people don't realize. Most ceiling fans, you're supposed to have blowing one way in the summer and the other way in the winter, and most people don't even think about that.
Yeah, and everything, but that's where they're designed.
Right.
Yes. A couple other things real quick. Bill, do you all remember way back as I was growing up, there's a little sports caveat, the Gulf Coast Wrestling?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely I do. Absolutely. It used to come on. I was down in South Alabama, so I watched it on Channel 3 out of Pensacola.
Yes. I think it originated out of Dothan, somewhere down there.
It was. I believe so. And that probably would have been on Channel 4.
I couldn't wait till Saturday morning because you didn't get the results of the big matches until the following week.
Right.
Oh, yeah. The big grudge matches, the cage matches. Do you recall the Tennessee Stud, he and his brother?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. My goodness.
Ron and Robert Fuller.
Man, legend. So some of those, it was amazing, too. And, I mean, there were so many different areas that had their own sort of little circuits. And then occasionally there'd be somebody who'd, come in from one of the other organizations or whatever and make a quick tour.
In Atlanta, we would get Dusty Rhodes and that group.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what exactly their name was, but I could definitely remember them on Saturday morning.
Yeah. If you recall, back in those days, they had the World Heavyweight Champion. Mm-hmm. Do you recall Harley Race?
I don't recall.
Vaguely, I think, but that doesn't ring as much of a bell.
Yeah, he was the World Heavyweight Champion. And during those times as well, the National Guard Armories around Alabama were huge wrestling matches.
Yep, absolutely. The one in Atmore was the closest one to home for me.
Well, the one in Selma was huge. You couldn't even get tickets to go to it. It always sold out.
Oh yeah, great crowds.
Oh yeah, just a little caveat I thought. And one last thing too, and I know you probably remember. I remember too. This is another sports. Growing up, the Sky. Preseason.
Oh, the Sky Riders. Sky Riders tour. Oh, yes. Yeah, I heard some wild stories from those days from the likes of Philip Marshall and so many folks.
Charles Goldberg, of course.
Jim Fife used to have a few stories about those.
Yeah, probably the best stories. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was great. I couldn't wait till Channel 12 would do, around the SEC, all the teams. You would sit at.
It's a little caricature of Phil with his hat on the plane.
Oh,
I can still see that.
Oh, yeah. Great stuff. But great you had this segment. I just brought back memories to me.
Oh, glad to do it, man. I'm glad we sort of stumbled on it. Appreciate your call, Jeff. Need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Anthony, hang on. You'll be up when we come back, heading into the final half hour here on the Friday Drive.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final 20 minutes or so here on this Friday. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, and Anthony's been hanging on for a while. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Hey, Bill, now, when I bought my first VCR in the 80s,
oh yeah,
that thing was about $800.
And how much did it weigh?
And I was going to say it weighed 50 pounds easy.
Yeah. It was about $800, man.
Now was it a top-loading one? Did it load from the top? Yeah.
Right, yeah. And the VHS, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And,
what was the other one? What was the other one? Oh, God, if Floyd's listening, he'll tell me, because he had one, and he was the techie, and it still is. But, I mean, his was much better than VHS. What was the other?
I don't remember.
There was a competitor that
the same thing happened
didn't
with
market itself.
CDs too, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
I don't remember what the other one was called now, but yeah.
And even the VCR, I mean not the VCR, even the microwave, man, was really expensive back then.
No kidding. And they weighed a ton too.
They did.
And if you had
a TV bigger than say 20-something inches, they
gigantic.
Weighed
gigantic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember buying my first one back in first microwave, I think it was in 1987. I remember that year. I can't remember what year the
Anthony, we had our first, I think we ours was maybe 89 when we did, and I think we had it until not too long ago. I mean, it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
But I mean, we kept it for 20 years.
Well, you know, I worked at the plant in Opelika that we made the actual tape at Ampex.
Ampex, absolutely. That was a huge the reels
right,
of tape, Brian.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because we used to get those at the stations I worked at down in South Alabama.
Right. We made cassettes. Matter of fact, the Limpet that was in Atlanta used our tape from Opelika when they made everything and. We were real proud of that. Hello? Are y'all still here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Another thing, when you were talking to the other guy about air conditioning, we didn't have them. We did have fans, but like you said, we stayed cool with the windows up and doors open because you can live like that back in the days, you know, in the 60s.
We were acclimated to it outdoors.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It was different.
Yep.
I mean, because we stayed outside all the time. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Right. Yeah. And but I tell my daughter about it, and my little grandkids.
They look like you got three eyes or something.
Yeah. Montgomery Fair was downtown Opelika, which they left and ended up turning to Gaffers.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember walking in that store, man, in the summertime like now. And that was the first time I felt a real air conditioner, man. I just go in there and
drink.
And man, I was real young. I had that one. We went to one of my cousin's funeral today, and we were telling some of those his grandkids how we were a little bit of boys and could walk to town at 4 or 5 years old because I stayed right near town from where I was raised at in Opelika, and they couldn't believe it. They're like, "Hey, young." I said, "Yeah, as long as you didn't mess with nothing, you know,
that's right.
You had money."
That's right.
And, but that was a good old day, man. I remember that last we had a theater downtown Opelika right there where the Breezeway at. Bill, I don't know if you get a chance to go downtown Opelika much.
No, it was so far. It's crazy. Hey, Anthony, it felt like it was so far from Auburn. Going out Opelika Road, it felt like forever. I mean, I'd get to Cherry's, and I felt like I'd gone, 20 miles.
Yeah.
You remember Cherry's Grocery, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cherry's,
Innes,
all.
Oh yeah, because I go because Cherry's had. See, Brian, Cherry's had albums, vinyl albums.
Nice.
We'd go out there. I mean, so that's one of the places. There weren't many record shops or anything around. So.
No,
there was one
Miller Music,
near
Miller Music downtown Opelika.
There's one downtown Auburn that you could exchange.
Above ground,
what was it called?
Above ground.
That was
probably Wildman's. But I mean,
Wildman's. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. we had, like I said, I remember that movie theater downtown Opelika was my brother used to take me in. The way I got in was a drink top. That's on the drink, the bottle.
They
else probably wasn't but a nickel, but that's how.
Man, that's great stuff, Anthony.
Yeah, but y'all go ahead, man. A good talking to you. Y'all have a good weekend.
You too. 334-321-1390. Mitch is back with us. What memories did we rekindle, Mitch?
Y'all were thinking about Betamax.
Betamax, that's exactly it. Yeah, Floyd had one, and as a matter of fact, he may still have it. I don't know, but I mean, he was absolutely sold. He knew that was better, and they may have been, but they didn't market it nearly as well.
No, and we had Oz Records downtown.
Yes, yep, sure did. But I remember Above Ground and Oz, and then Brian remembers Wildman. So, yep.
Right, and somebody was talking about microwaves. Yeah, my in-laws up in Fayetteville recently got rid of their microwave, and they'd had it for like 30 years. It was built like a tank, and it still worked.
Yeah, it still worked, but it probably given off rays like who knows what. Those things that were built so much better. I mean, they really were. I mean, of course, they didn't have the knowledge and the ability to be able to use lighter weight materials like plastics in any of the thing they were building, but they don't hold up as well either now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've got a KitchenAid stand up mixer.
Uh huh.
And
it weighs a ton.
It's built like a tank. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Made in France. Yeah. So, and it's gonna last forever, probably. Oh,
well past us, no question.
Yeah, but I had to chime in because somebody brought up the attic fan.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we moved back to Auburn in 1975, we lived over on Hudson Terrace for like a year, and then we moved to Camellia Drive right off of, which is in between Rice Mill Road and Gay Street.
Yeah.
And we did not have air conditioning. We had an attic fan. But yeah, at night, all you had to do was crack the windows, turn the attic fan on, mm-hmm. and it would suck the hot air out.
Oh, absolutely it would. Yeah.
Pull the cool air. And I mean, in the summertime, you know, I'd have to have a sheet or maybe even a blanket sometime because it would get cold inside the house.
Yeah, and there wasn't a thermostat either. I mean, it was like it's cooling and it's going to cool till it's, you know, it's cool as it's going to get.
Right. And it's like you turn it on and it stays on until you turn it off.
Ooh, I can remember just the sound that they'd make. Yeah.
And I mean, I've heard horror stories from my mom and uncle and everything about, because they lived out on the farm on Wire Road, and it would get so hot at night that they would actually go out. They would take mattresses or pallets or whatever and sleep outside. It was so hot in the house, even with the windows open, fans and everything. So, yeah, I mean, but yeah, the attic fan, I kind of wish I had an attic fan at the house that I live in now, to tell you the truth, but it's a two-story house. So
yeah, that'd be tough.
I don't know how
I don't know.
I don't know if that would work. But we were going back to payphones and smoking and all that stuff and everything. Bill, do you remember, because my father worked at the Public Service Commission in the 70s, and I remember going into the bathroom, and you had to pay a dime to get into a stall.
Wow. I remember some buildings where you had to do that, but yeah, that's definitely something that wasn't extremely common, but there weren't just a lot of public facilities available either.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just I don't know why I remember that, because I was only about 5 years old. But if you remember in Smokey and the Bandit,
oh yes,
Sally Field asked Burt Reynolds for a dime to go to the toilet, and he says, "Crawl under."
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's exactly what I did when mm-hmm. I went into this bathroom.
Man, a dime was a lot of money too.
Oh yeah. Get you 5 pieces of bubble gum back in the
That's
day.
That's right.
They got me 2 packs of baseball cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and then you guys were You were talking about smoking.
Give me a comic book, too, for a dime.
Yep.
And the radio and everything, yeah. The last I remember, when I was in the Air Force Reserves, we went to Germany for our annual tour in the summertime. And this was 1990, and, like, the last, if you wanted to smoke, you had to, like, sit in the last three rows in the back of the plane.
I wonder how much that really protected anybody else
exactly.
on the plane. Right. I mean, it was that way on buses and stuff, too. It'd be like the smoking section. You know, it's like,
Well, I mean, you're in a tube.
Yeah.
It's
not like you could crack the window, you know, like you're driving.
Probably not a good idea on the plane.
No, probably wouldn't. But, oh.
And I used to think. I'm not sure of that, but I mean, look, mom and dad smoked. I smoked. It's been a long time, but I mean, I used to the little window in car doors. That little window, I used to think that's what, and maybe it was that's what that was there for, so you could thump your ashes out that little window without having to have the big window rolled down.
Right. And last thing I got, because I guess Spectre brought up wrestling, but. I remember me and my brother, and it was out of Texas, but the Von Erich.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
definitely remember him.
Okay. Yeah. There was like three or four brothers.
The brothers.
Wrestled. Yeah. And that was like, that's what we watched on Saturdays was the Von Erich. And I do remember Channel 4 out of Dothan because late at night at my grandparents'
cartoons.
Place, we would. They had an antenna on the top of the house, and it had one of those motors on it so you could turn it and everything. But, yeah, late at night, we would be able to pick up Channel 4 in Dothan.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was just amazing. And, I mean, and
yeah, we could watch we could watch Channel 4 here with the same way. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And actually, we could also get, before Turner took it over and it became a
Channel 17.
Yeah, Channel 17 out of
WTCG before it was TBS. Yep.
Right.
That's what we used to watch in the middle of the night. Yep. Appreciate it, Mitch. Got to get to our final break here of the show. And Spectre's back with us when we come back to wrap things up here on the Friday Drive.
All right.
This summer, we make HVAC history.
ESPN 1067. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on this Friday. And Spectre's back with us. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, I forgot you guys ain't going to be here next week, right?
Yeah. Sorry about that. Well, I'm not sorry about that. I'm glad I'm getting a week off. What are you talking about? Yeah.
Well, listen, I'll give you my music trivia question for you, Brian.
All right.
You know, I heard in the news where Lionel Richie's touring with the Commodores.
Yes.
And I saw he canceled a show or so recently here, just in the last few days.
Yeah, he collapsed on stage.
Oh, no. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, they said he was all right, though. But listen, here's the trivia. You know how the Commodores got their name?
I do not.
No, all right, Richie,
this come from Richie's mouth. He said that they couldn't come up with a good name, so they opened up a book and they put their finger on the first name that came down, and it was the Commodores.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, they did a good job.
Yeah.
He said the strangest thing about it was we were almost called the Commodes.
They did well.
Yeah, but anyway, that's the trivia that I have for today, guys.
That's cool.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Spectre. We got a chance after sometime after Lionel left. The guys came by the studio when they were doing night shift. Remember that? Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down on the night.
Yeah, that was from. Yeah. Was that part of the movie too?
I think it may have been. Okay. May have been, but that was a really good song. Yeah. You know, Lionel wasn't. I mean, golly, I'm blanking on the other guy's name. The other leader of the Commodores, because he just passed recently, and he sang about as much as Lionel did in the early days of the Commodores. I remember the first thing from the Commodores was an instrumental, and I'll probably think of the name of it right after we go off the air. But yeah, so yeah, hopefully that works. That'd be a show I'd probably go watch as well.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Brian, before we run out of time, I mean, might as well catch folks back up on what's going on at auburnsports.com and how they can keep up with everything.
Yeah, we've had a lot of recruiting news this week football-wise. Auburn's picked up several commitments over the last several days, and you can get all that and more at auburnsports.com. And, of course, they're up to, I think it's six now, baseball transfers.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had updates on a lot of those, you can see. And we'll continue to follow both. And before long, we'll be headed down to Tampa for SEC Media Days and all that good stuff. But follow us at auburnsports.com. Follow me on social media, Twitter/X at BMATAU.
All right, that is going to wrap things up for the Friday Drive and wrap things up for a week, actually 10 days here on the Drive, taking some vacation. Hope everybody has a safe and happy 4th, and we'll be back with you. Brian will be in on that Monday following the 4th of July weekend. So until then, take care, everybody. Looking forward to a little time off and then getting back with you. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.